The Reluctant Carer, read by William Andrews. The pleasure of being necessary to my parents was profound. I was not like the children in folk tales, burdensome mouths to feed, nuisances to be corrected, problems so severe that they were abandoned to the forest. I had a status. Toni Morrison, The New Yorker. You're on Earth. There's no cure for that. Samuel Beckett, Endgame. Up the hill, backwards. I forget who rang, but I remember the call. No one was certain which of my father's ailments had jumped the queue, but there were plenty of contenders. Heart, kidneys, or those beleaguered, low-tar lungs. The smart money would be on something respiratory, but we were deep in extra time already. Any smart money fled long ago. These calls come, sooner or later. Wherever you are in your journey, as they say, the collapse of a loved one, or someone you were supposed to love, will abduct you to another reality. The question is how readily we sign up for the ride. Has my mother or sister or my brother outlined the details of the old man's latest hospital admission, I pace the upstairs of my home. This is where we took important calls because the signal was clear. Let me figure out what to do, I said, and then I hung up the phone. The knot in my stomach was already forming the opinion that I didn't want to go back to the house where my parents lived and I was mostly raised, now 70 miles from my own. I had left them just the day before. Dad was 86 then, Mum, 88, fitter than my father, but fragile all the same. There was always something that needed doing, and it was good just to be around, even if all each visit did was make it easier to leave again. It was better than nothing. Besides, I liked being there, up to a point. It still resembled childhood, somehow. Much older actors, but essentially the same play, and at that point still one I could walk out of. They were in their 40s when they had me, 12 years after my sister, and 9 since my brother. On holidays, the other kids sometimes thought my parents were my grandparents. This worried me, but I was worried already, mentally preparing for their deaths, and all deaths, since I realized mortality was the price of being around. I was 7 years old, in the same room where I'm writing this now, reading a storybook about birds when it hit me. One bird died, and the other birds could neither revive it nor except its passing. I ran downstairs in a panic and asked my mother if we would both die. Yes, she told me, but not for a very long time. Right on both counts. It is the answered prayers that we have to watch out for, and their long lives were mine. Dad spent 4 decades in the Merchant Navy, and I watched his fettle turn for the worse in recent years, as slowly and surely as one of his ships. The nature of his work meant I didn't see much of him growing up. By the time he retired, I had left home. Yet, in each of these more frequent crises, by some eerie symmetry, I was with him. As if we'd been sailing back towards each other all along. Or rather, he lay in wait, floating, just beneath the surface. Like a mine. This call was different. I could sense it, and I knew because I didn't want to know. Despite decades of planning, fretting, and elaborate internal bargaining, I felt no more qualified to take this on board at 47 than at 7. I went downstairs to tell my wife. Dad's in hospital again. I don't know what difference it makes if I'm there. I just got back. Maybe I can wait and see what happens. Having crossed the Atlantic countless times to nurse her mother through a quarter century of cancer, she turned from her cooking and said simply, "Go." My brother was nearby and picked me up. 90 minutes later, we arrived. We moved into this house in 1976, that fabled summer of parched verges and punk rock. I dare say the 5 tall, smooth tiled steps up to the front door seemed, like cigarettes and unprotected sex, to be a good idea at the time. They have been cracked by the subsequent seasons, acquired a grab rail, and attain, in rain or winter, the kind of dreadful status in the minds of those who dwell atop them, as K2 and the Eiger hold for mountaineers. No one old or sober has yet fallen all the way down them, but as I hauled my bag indoors that day, I was falling up them, in a sense, out of one life and into another. A mile away, in hospital, Dad was on the margins, but it was my world that was really changing. Having pitched